Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Praise God. As we continue in the book of Matthew this morning, I bring you the message from Matthew chapter 16, verse 5 to 20. As we go through the series, Commissioned by Christ, today's title is, Who is Christ to the Church and to You? Matthew chapter 16, I preached last week, verse 1 to 4. I pick up this week at verse 5. Later, after they crossed to the other side of the lake, the disciples discovered that they had forgotten to bring any bread. Watch out, Jesus warned them. Beware of the feast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. At this, they began to argue with each other because they hadn't brought any bread. Jesus knew what they were saying, so he said, You have so little faith. Why are you arguing with each other about having no bread? Don't you understand even yet? Don't you remember the 5,000 I fed with five loaves and the basket of leftovers you picked up? Or the 4,000 I fed with seven loaves and the large baskets of leftovers you picked up? Why can't you understand that I'm not talking about bread? So again I say, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then at last they understood he wasn't speaking about the yeast in the bread, but about the deceptive teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Then he asked them collectively, let me put that word in there. Then he asked them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. In verse 17, Jesus replied, You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Then he sternly warned the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Father, your word is so powerful, no 20 to 30 minutes can preach it. But God, in these short moments, would you, Father, rivet something from this text into the individual hearts at the point and place where they need it. And so, Lord, use this vessel as you can. And God, I yield myself to you. And may we yield all of our ears to you to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. As the Spirit revealed to Peter who you were, Father, let your Spirit reveal to everyone now who you are. I pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. So the text takes us into this key topic. Beware of false Christians. That is people with a spiritual language without true spiritual knowledge. Folks, there's a lot of people with a spiritual language. Do you know what I'm talking about? They can talk the talk, but they choose not to walk the walk. And Jesus was amongst those Pharisees, Sadducees, keeps coming up over and over. That's a religious talk are religious talkers, religious doers, but not religious servers of Christ. And so Matthew 16, verse 7 to 11, when Jesus left these religious people, he left them to their own destiny. Because if you notice, we've been going over and over and over, and they're not correcting behavior. Folks, when the passages are being preached week after week and we don't correct behavior, he leaves us to our own destiny. And he left them because they refused to change. So he focused more intently now on helping the earnest disciples learn the lessons of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is different from the kingdom of the world. And so a natural lesson about bread emerged for him to help them to see and to understand so that they would remember this life lesson on their pathway of life with Christ. And so Jesus used their forgetting to bring bread as a reminder of what happens when you are mixed in with people who are bad yeast in the making of your life. See, folks, bread must have yeast, but yeast has two cultures. Not types, culture. Yeast is a pervasive influence that has power to transform a component for the better or to destroy it. Yeast will modify whatever it's in and make partial or minor changes to anything it is in. And typically, it is there to improve the item, but if the yeast is bad, it will destroy anything it enters into. It has the power to bring extreme change, whether good or bad. And yeast influences and affects dough as it spreads widely throughout, and it can hardly be stopped once it infiltrates. All the bakers here know when you put the yeast in, you can't take the yeast out. And that's what Jesus was pointing out to them. It permeates, it influences, it transforms, which is good when the yeast is good. But if it's a yeast that has gone bad, it is extremely destructive because you can't retract it. It's already embedded itself in the fiber of the component you put it in. Therefore, that thing has to be thrown out. Any baker here? Yes? So, folks, Jesus is pointing out to us, if we mingle with religious spirits that are not walking in step with Christ, what they put into us can become so pervasive, it transforms us on our journey, but changes us from the good that Christ wants in us and causes us to be blinded, to be infiltrated by what is not of Christ. The great spiritual lesson to be grasped here is that believers are to beware of the carnal philosophies of religious people, because such people's hearts are not for the things of Christ. When their heart is for Christ, all that matters is what Christ and his word says. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're all about religious behavior. Folks, we're going to see in the future some strange people coming into the kingdom. Some of the strange ones, we will pray out with their strange ideology that is destructive to society and to children and to us and to our Christian walk. But those that are just living out their lives with stresses and duresses and not even know how to cope, we're going to come alongside and be good yeast to infiltrate their lives and help them see that God will make you better. Yes? So beware of people who are not fully committed to Christ, who do not focus on Christ's teaching. They don't follow the Bible. They have their minds on the very light version of what they call Christianity, which focuses on a heavy dependence on worldly principles. They love a religion that tickles them and makes them feel happy about their secularized lifestyle, so they're never convicted. The reason some Christians like a light version is that they don't want to feel convicted, because conviction requires change. Yes? Some people, folks, desire to love Jesus, but they want to serve Christ without conviction. And true fulfillment is found in being convicted by the cross and convinced of the cross. And as the disciples were preoccupied with earthly matters of no eternal consequences, Jesus in verse 8, he screams at them, "You of little faith." Basically, he said, "Have I not been teaching this over and over and over? Can you not see yet? Folks, have we not been going over this over and over and over and over? There's nothing left for us to not grasp. It is all there before us." And so Jesus' disciples are to be followers who are primarily concerned with spiritual matters. Folks, if we are concerned with spiritual matters, the physical matters will work themselves out. So we must guard our minds and our soul against the world's yeast, because the world's yeast contaminates. And we have that contaminant right now. Do you notice most people are thinking about whatever they see on social media, whatever the news tells them, and they're not caught up in the Word of God, which will transform their life for better. So folks, do you realize the people who are not walking in the Spirit are the smoothest ones at causing you to be distracted? Have you ever noticed? If they're not walking fully in the Spirit, they're constantly at you, distracting, showing you this. And folks, right now, there's a lot of people sending you things from everywhere. Reject it in Jesus' name and block them. Block them. Not everything you hear out there. Get into the Word. You know what? YouVersion has a Bible app. Let it populate a verse and you put that in your mind. But this one's saying, "Oh, demons are flying." Well, they've been flying since Jesus was around. Let them fly. Now, when they come in your house, know the Word. Oh, got to pause for a little quick one. You know, I have to sometimes pop in a good story. So, we were all Christmas decorating, so I bought this, you know those angels? Have you seen them in Home Depot and all those places, the big, big angel? I wanted one from last year, so I went and I bought one this year at Black Friday sale, and I'm so excited. And they give you, like, it's a huge angel. What do they give you? 4 little pegs to hold it down. And I'm like, 4 pegs is not going to hold my angel down. So I went back to Home Depot. I said, "You guys, where's the rest of the pegs?" They're like, "That's what it comes with." I said, "Okay." The guy said, "I got to buy some more pegs." I said, "Because when an angel is flying from heaven, that's normal." I said, "When my angel goes flying, that is my money." So they found me some pegs. But we got to remember, folks, don't get caught up with all the stuff people are sending you. And don't just get rid of it. Tell them, "Don't send me this. I'm not about that." Hello? Stop it. Because it distracts you from what is real. And the enemy's using even these counterfeit spiritual things to distract people. You're caught up in nonsense that has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to peace and life. We sang it today. Nicole and the team sang it as we welcome the Holy Spirit. Verse 7 says, "For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never obeys God's laws and it never will." Do you hear this? We're like, "Oh, you know, they're good people. To let them be good people. Say, take your goodness elsewhere. But if you're going to speak to me about the real things of Christ and stop sending me nonsense." Online, you heard this. It's real good. That's good preaching, Pastor. The religious people were so proud of their religious standing that they added whatever made them feel more holy to the Word of God. We need to guard ourselves against spirituality, but know the Bible, the Word of God, first and foremost. That is what we must depend on for our lifeline, or else we can end up in grave error, such as many have fallen into very subtly. Have you ever wondered how some people got caught up in some of the things that they how do so many people go drink Kool-Aid and kill themselves? I've never gotten over how could so many, was it last year or 2 years ago, they had some church where the pastor locked them inside the church and I won't even describe what they were doing. And one woman, thanks be to God, jumped out there. They had locked the doors and everything and had guards and had these people doing foolish things. One woman, thank God, she would have been like me. She just ran to a window, jumped out the window, cut herself and ran like crazy and got to the police on time for the police to save others' lives. But I asked myself, if I lock the door and begin to do crazy thing and tell you drink some Kool-Aid, my God, the first one that drinks the Kool-Aid, I'm hauling them over the top of my body and I'm lying flat. Or I'm sailing through the window myself. Folks, something inside of us, which is Holy Spirit, should tell us something's wrong. When you don't know, it's like, well, everybody's doing it. I don't care if everybody's doing it. I will not be the one doing it. Millennials, we're concerned, for your strength is not there in the Word. And in January 2024, our Momentum Group, 20 North, 40 South, we'll be embarking on an apologetics course to assist you millennials and the next gen to come into a full knowledge of the faith. There's a lot of complaints, you don't know it, but we're going to provide you the means to know. What is apologetics? Let me tell you quickly. It's an essential study for anyone looking to enrich, to improve their relationship with God, with Christ. Apologetics will help you to command and commend and defend the Christian worldview in a life system that is unbelieving to the Word of God. It'll teach you issues such as about Christ's resurrection so you can refute what others say. It will show you proper spiritual philosophy. It will strengthen your faith. It will explain the Bible clearly and rationally. It will allow you to see how the Spirit moves upon lives. And it will also prepare you so when the time comes and someone in your worldview, someone in your workplace, someone in your friendship level, because we must keep friends that are unsaved, but when they come at you, you don't go, The problem is when we go, then they begin to tear us apart. You need to know something inside the knower in your spirit so that when Holy Spirit touches that, you fly the answer out and confound them in their wisdom. Amen? Can I tell you, Holy Spirit is powerful. He will give you understanding you don't know. In fact, church, I'm going to do the same for the church. We're going to probably do the same because we have to become ready to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many people have turned their religion into a socially acceptable external religion where there's no sacrifice, no cost to serve in Christ, no cross to bear. But I want to tell you, that is not the right way. When we do not know the word fully with a spiritual depth, we allow ourselves to be easily deceived by the ploys of the enemy, which he knows how to get each person. He's not omniscient, all-knowing, but he's timeless. He knows your behavior. He knows your weakness. And so that is why we must know the word. And we're going to prepare means for you to step into this as we go into a crazy decade now to come. And folks, when we do that, I want you to learn how to let the word of God dominate your mind. Do you know how you can spot counterfeit? How do you spot counterfeit? Any banker here? How do you spot counterfeit? You do what? You compare it to the original. But if you don't have the original right there, if you don't have a $100 bill to look at, you should have known the nuances of a $100 bill. That's how you spot it. If you know what the real is like, the fake, you will see the subtleties in its changes. I remember as I was traveling once, we were going into one of the African countries, and a person was trying to come out. I'm sorry, we were coming out, going into another one. We were transiting between countries. And a person was trying to exit on a Canadian passport. And he was at one of the counters of the security people, the passport control. And he was there. And the passport guy kept looking at it. And then as I came on the other counter and he saw my passport, he says to the guy, "Give me that passport." And he took mine and he put it up on the guy. And he looked at the two of them. He called the other guy over, and they looked at the two. And as soon as they looked at mine and looked at the others, they called security. Why? Because if you know the real, see what? Something in his mind showed him something's wrong with this. You know what was wrong? That passport was a beautiful copy, because when the enemy's counterfeit, it's beautiful. It was a beautiful copy, but you know how we have an embedded, watermark. They couldn't get the watermark. See, when you know the real, you see what's missing. And so, folks, I want to encourage us as we move on. Jesus rebuked all the types of behavior that did not line up with moving the lives of people into a more glorious presence. And some may think that you can acquire religious respectability. Since they can't get that respectability in their culture or their setting, many people will target the church for that respectability and for notoriety. But I want you to know our cause is for all to know Christ, who Christ is, not who we are. Hello? Who Christ is, not who we are. Folks, do you really know who Jesus is? And if we do not add anything to an already closed Bible. When Jesus began teaching his disciples this lesson, here's what happened. He was trying to get them to know Christ for themselves. Matthew 16, Jesus says, who do people say I am? They said, well, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah. He said, but who do you say? That's what everybody is saying, but who do you say? There's a collective question, but there's an individual question. Popular opinion of Christ in that day highly esteemed and well respected. He was considered one of the greatest men, but the world's concept of him was he's great, but he's not the Christ. Some saw him as John the Baptist, great man of faith, willing to be martyred, and they saw him as all of that John was, but not as the Messiah. Some saw him as Elijah, great prophet that brought down fire, God used him miraculously, a man who was in communion with God, but they didn't see him as the Messiah. Some saw him as Jeremiah, a mighty prophet who would come and establish the tabernacle and would structure Israel and restore the altar, but not as the Messiah. So they were professing Jesus to be great, but they were not professing him to be the Christ. Most saw Jesus as great and righteous, a teacher, a healer, a helper, but not as the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world. And the world may have many opinions about Christ, and you will see the good, the bad, and the ugly over this Christmas season. All holidays, whatever it is, Diwali, whatever it is, it focuses on what their religious holiday is about. But Christmas is the only one that they want to take and sabotage it and make it something different. What does the world want right now? They want mass without Christ. And those who know how to play mass, right, Noel? I'm joking. They want mass, the party, without Christ. But that's not who we are. So Peter, Jesus asked him, personalize it, but who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? And every single person will have to give an answer to God about their eternal destiny. Our answer as to who Christ is to us really matters for eternity. When we know who Christ is, we're content to allow the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives like good yeast. Do you know what? I don't want the convicting power of Christ to leave me. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? I want him to convict me. I want him to convict me of sins known and unknown. Sins I see and things I don't see. I love how he convicts. I love how he speaks to me in the night season. I tell people, you have no idea. Others will get away with murder. I don't get away with anything. He will convict me. At any time I'm sitting down or I'm quiet, I just feel that if I've done something, he convicts me. Folks, I don't ever want that. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. When we personally know who Christ is, we want to accept all the spiritual things that reveals Christ and his wisdom to us. And when we desire to know who Christ is, then we desire to be reborn by the Spirit and by the Word so that we're filled up to overflowing. We're not just living with a mental assent to Christ, but we're living with a spiritual knowledge of who Christ is. So folks, in 2024, we're going to have life groups that are going to share more about who Christ is. Some of the life groups are like, oh, we're doing a pretty study. That's great, and I applaud you. But we need to get into who is Christ. Who is Christ to us? Who is Christ to the church? And who is Christ to you? Because knowing Christ and his truth naturally changes our priorities. Here's the folks. Everyone who acknowledges me, Matthew 10:32. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Mark 8:38. If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, what did Jesus call it? Adulterous and sinful days. If you're ashamed of me, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So folks, who is Christ to you? And we need to have a knowledge of Christ and his spiritual power, which will unlock doors. It will unlock, lock and unlock all doors. See, the world gravitates to fleshly empowerment, pride and fame and wealth and what they have and who they think they are. They maintain their prejudices against Christianity. They cater to man-made philosophies. They lean on scientific methods that are changeable with new errors. They sell their souls for materialism, and they put all their trust in technology. But we trust in the name of the Lord. The church is called the body of Christ, and the followers are the doers of the word of God. So we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit, and we do this because there is an eternal judgment. Therefore, we live with a zeal that daily drives us to remember, who is Christ to me? Who is Christ to me? Folks, it is such Christians that will unlock the doors. Can I just share with you, Matthew continues in this text after Jesus talks about the yeast. And then he asked the collectively, he said to everyone, like here today, who do you say that I am as a church? I want you to know, I can answer that for us collectively. We, as Pickering Pentecostal Church, believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We believe that Jesus Christ came incarnate to this world, walked as a baby, came as a baby, walked on earth as a man, 3.5 years, raised up the disciples, taught them everything they need to know. And then he went to the cross because he was crucified by sinful people who did not want to accept the will of God. And then he rose and he ascended to heaven. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father. And one day he's coming back to take those who've made Christ their own. Oh God, I want to be in that number. So here's this passage as the worship team comes. This passage that's coming up. Would you put that on the screen? This passage, I'll have to preach it again because there's too much in it to preach in this short moment. But folks, when we know who we are in Christ, and we know who Christ is to us, we become stewards of the keys of the kingdom of God. We are trusted by God to keep the keys. That's the keys of the kingdom. And we trust God to enable us to bind up the worldly doors that we close and to open up the spiritual doors that we unlock. You could take pictures of that because that screams. That screams many messages. That screams the first message. We have become, when we're walking in truth, we become the stewards. When you have the stewards, Nick is our building manager. His key ring is this big. He has keys nobody else has. He's the steward over this house. We all have different keys for different doors. But him being the steward, if he ever left those keys somewhere, if he ever gave those keys to somebody else, because when you're the steward of the key, you take care of what God has given and entrusted to you. What keys does he given us? Keys to the kingdom of God. That's a spiritual kingdom. And we are trusted by God to keep the keys. And we trust God to enable us as we have the keys. What do you do with keys? You open and you close. Do you open for the enemy? Hello? Do you open for the enemy? You close it against the enemy. And you open for those who you want to welcome in. So we have, I'm telling you, I've got to preach this one day. We have the power of God, the blessing of God, the entrustment of God, the enablement of God to bind up worldly doors. You know why the world went crazy on steroids? And all on forms of ungodliness? Because the church wasn't using its keys. Talk to me, somebody. Because the church wasn't using its keys. And sometimes even pastors like me, when we preach it and pray it the way we should, people are like, oh, pastor, you shouldn't pray that. That's so hard. Get rid of light Christianity. It's time for us to bind up, close up some worldly doors, and open up the spiritual doors. When we unlock that, he says what? If you unlock it on earth, he will unlock it in heaven. Folks, that's a spiritual principle we've got to realize. And it goes back to the yeast. That's why it ends with this. If you put the yeast in and it's bad, you're going to throw out everything. And God's saying, there are times I have to leave you to your own devices because you knew not to let that yeast inside of you. But when you allow the proper yeast, then it begins to rise. It's a blessing. We have a baker in the house, and she bakes. We love everything. Why? Because it's done well. Folks, the world should love the church. This Christmas season, people are going to want to know who Christ is to you. So my question is, who is Christ to you? What kind of yeast are you going to allow to be baked in the fabric of your life in this season where people don't even want you to mention the name Jesus? Lock some doors. You know what? Go to the other store and the other store and the other store, even the dollar store and even Canadian Tire, and buy the cards that say Christmas. And the ones that say Happy Holidays, let them end up on the shelf. Do you know, it's a lot of Christians, we are the ones who buy cards because we think more of people and friends and church. Leave holidays on the shelf. Let them have it for another year and another year and another year. And keep telling every Christian, don't buy no holiday cards. Because if it's Diwali, they say Diwali. If it's this, it's it, name it. Anything, any right? Doesn't it say what it is? Who is Christ to you? He's the child, the God child that came as a baby. And that's what we're celebrating. It's not going to be Mass without Christ. It's going to be Christ's Mass, Christ party. Who is Christ to you?
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.